From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, live from the NPR studios, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart. We're news, information, phobias.
I'm Rachel Martin. It's Thursday, April 17th.
Do you have any phobias which are realistic or maybe unrealistic?
I don't know what category this one falls into, but I had it just the other day. It happens to me quite frequently. I get home and I get inside my apartment and I immediately look all over the place. I look in my closet. I look behind the shower curtain for burglars. I'm really afraid of burglars. I don't know why. I've never been burgled.
Fear of burglars. I like you say something like robbers.
No, burglar. Or thieves. Like the hamburger.
Burglars.
But scarier. But much, much scarier. The hamburger burglar would be fun.
Well, we have a segment for you coming up today. Someone, and we'll tell you who in a little bit, has challenged people out there to come up with products based on our fears. So you might
sounds
be that
opportunistic
person who, you know, the inflatable Doberman Pinscher dog doll you put in the window to scare off
or
the burglar.
Just a little audio tape. That's not a bad idea.
See?
My hand's on one of those.
We'll find out what some of the entries into this contest are. Some of them are very, very funny. And you know what? Unusually persuasive.
Really?
Of things. You read them, you're like, oh, maybe that would work.
Actually, now that you think about it, I am afraid of that.
Coming up also on the show, Philadelphia last night, Senators Clinton and Obama had one last tango before next Tuesday's Pennsylvania primary. Who stepped on whose toes? Richard Wolf from Newsweek will join us to discuss.
And outdoor advertising is everywhere. You know, billboards, it's everywhere you go. One artist, advertiser wants to do something about it. We're going to have a discussion with the CEO of what's called the Anti-Advertising Agency.
And some details about a pig slaughter happening in Ottawa, not because of disease, but for economic reasons. We will explain. We'll also get today's headlines in just a minute. But first, a Supreme Court ruling about lethal injection is likely to give a green light to dozens of executions that have been on hold since September.
Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court voted 7-2 that the three-drug method of lethal injection currently used in the state of Kentucky is not cruel and unusual punishment.
All 36 states that have the death penalty use a three-drug method. The first drug sedates, the second one paralyzes, the third one kills. Critics contend that a single lethal shot would be more humane. In particular, they argue that if the first shot doesn't work, the second shot, the paralytic, makes the inmate unable to express any pain he or she may feel.
But seven of the justices disagreed with that. Why? Well, it's not such a simple question because the Supreme Court is so divided.
How divided are they?
They are so divided, they can't even agree on why they agree. The seven justices in the majority wrote three separate opinions. Most of the justices agreed that Kentucky had enough safeguards in place to prevent unnecessary pain and suffering. Justices Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas went the farthest, saying no method of execution is unconstitutional unless the state intentionally inflicts torturous pain.
But Justice John Paul Stevens dropped a jurisprudential bombshell. After 33 years in the court, he said for the first time that he now believes the death penalty is unconstitutional. But he voted with the majority, saying he feels obligated to stick with court precedent.
Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and David Souter dissented. They said Kentucky didn't do enough to prevent the risk of pain and suffering.
So what does this all mean? Well, it could mean a lot more lawsuits. That's because this case could open every state's lethal injection protocols to scrutiny.
And Donald Verrilli, who represents the challengers in the Kentucky case, told NPR his case shows that the problem isn't just the protocol, but how it's carried out.
If one looks at the records established there, what one finds is that the problem is not so much with the written protocols, which at least on their face seem reasonable, but on the fact that the states don't seem to pay any attention to the written protocols when they actually carry out the executions, and they carry out the executions in a haphazard manner. And with a record like that, it seems to me you're going to have a far different case than the case you had in Kentucky.
But Columbia University law professor Michael Dorff told NPR that the court's conservative majority is unlikely to issue any ruling against the death penalty.
This court, as currently configured, is not about to strike down a state's method of execution if it looks more or less like Kentucky's.
You can go to NPR.org throughout the day for updates on this story. Now let's get some more of today's news from the BPP's Mark Garrison.